Say, let's start. I'm not going to kill that much time because I got lots to share with you. And I also want to give you a break, and I stole some time from you before, so I'm going to make up for it on this trip. I'm going to share something with you about Psalm 19, and I know you're going to love it. I know it's not in the mystery, but it is in the mystery in a way that the Lord encourages us to sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and that's an encouragement the Lord gives us, so we'll do that. It's not mystery doctrine, but the Lord did say to do it. So, do it. Psalm 19. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's true. Psalm 19. Let's see. I think I want verse 7. Yes, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We tried the honeycomb tonight. It was wonderful of you to bring it. It was delicious. But this is sweeter than honey. This is sweeter than honey. Believe it. It's sweeter also than honey. And it really is. I called my brother in Denver maybe a couple of days ago, before I came to this conference, and his name is Johnny. Johnny, I said, I've got something to share with you. My dad passed away 2 or 3 years ago. I can't get to where I can talk about it. And it's great to talk about it now because I wasn't able to because of being emotional about it, but I called Johnny up, and he's emotional too, but he didn't get emotional either. The Lord was in charge of this testimony that I gave my brother. My dad is Catholic. I showed him this scripture here, and then I went to the mystery doctrine, and you know, don't give me any of that book stuff that you're always giving me, a book. You know, very angry. I said, Dad, I'm not giving you that book stuff. I want to share Psalm 19 for you. You play the guitar, Dad. My brother Johnny plays the guitar too. I can't play a tune. I can play a couple of chords, but not good enough to make good music like they can. I says, Dad, could you play the chords to this song here? And it is Psalm 19, verse 10. And it goes like this. Any of you ever sang that verse? More to be. How many have sung that verse before? Nobody? Okay, it goes like this. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Okay. My dad fell in love with that tune, and he started playing the guitar, and he sang it until he died. And this was years ago. And yeah, it's beautiful. This works. And then every time I'd visit him, let's sing that song. Well, see, Johnny and I were singing that song first. So he comes from the bedroom running. Could you sing that song with you? I said, sure, Dad. So we sang for him. Man, beautiful to see him singing this song, a psalm. And then I took him to Ephesians and Philippians and the other scriptures that the Lord has given me. And when he got through, I said, Dad, well, what do you think now? How do you like the book? So he says, you know what? I'm beginning to like it. But I'm a Catholic, I will nourish the, I was born a Catholic, and I'm going to die a Catholic. Dad, as long as you love the Lord Jesus Christ today, oh, he is my Lord. He said, he's my God. You just stay right there, Dad, as far as I'm concerned. That's where you're at. But I went to his funeral, and they asked me to share the word. And, of course, I started with a really beautiful scripture. I didn't know what I was going to do because I thought I was going to start crying. There's Dad, you know, the sleeping soul. And I knew what was happening. You know, I said, Lord, I know he's in your presence because the book of Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that the spirit of the deceased here is in the very presence of God. And I told all those Catholics there, and they came from all over. My sisters came in from California. And, of course, some other cousins and nephews, and a lot of people there related, that we were related. So I didn't know what in the world I was going to talk about. But my brother Johnny, he was in charge of all of the things. And I said, Johnny, I would sure like to say something. You don't have to tell me that, Eddie. He says, you're going to be the first one. So he called on me, and I went on and shared right away Book of Ephesians. I says, I don't know, Lord. I prayed. I said, Lord, what did you want me to do? And I took my Bible out. It's another one that it's all worn out. And I said, this Bible here is quite old, as you can see. Remember, Johnny, when we used to play baseball and we used to knock the cover off of it? Well, you know what? Now I'm knocking off the cover off of Bibles that I read. So that was kind of like a testimony that everyone should get a Bible and learn the Word of God just exactly the way it is. Now, I'm going to make a long story short because I don't want to steal any more time, and I've got something to share here. But this is sharing. Huh? Okay. Thank you. I will not hurry then. So anyway, the cover of Bailey's, see, there's a bunch of kids and nephews and cousins, and we were just kids. We all grew up together, and we used to take that bat and wham, and there goes the ball, fluttering all over the air, you know. So I told them, I said, now we have a Bible that's pretty well used up, as you can see. Of course, they all heard, oh, Eddie's not a Catholic anymore, you know. He left his religion. I said, but hey, I know. And one of them says, he may have left his religion. He said, but I think he still has God. He still has God. Okay. After the whole thing was over, I said, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. And you know what? The following verse of Scripture says, you are an adopted son. And when you believe that and really believe it in your heart, the Lord will put it there, and you will belong to the church of the one body. My cousin Angie just got through saying the rosary, and she talked about what they call a mystery or something. And I honestly didn't know what you asked me a while ago about Catholic. I don't know. I don't care to know anymore about Catholic religion. And no offense to those of you who have Catholic friends or relatives, but I just don't. It's non-edifying to me. It has. It doesn't have anything that's meet for the saint or soldier of Christ. Where was I? Okay. Okay. By the time Angie says this is for the resurrection of the Lord, another mystery. They said. They pray in mysteries, you know. So I said, I was talking about the resurrection of the Lord and how we will all be resurrected and the true resurrection. And then Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And he that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And now I was doing this with a closed Bible, just like this, but I was ready with my finger in there in the book of Ephesians, you know. But I kept on, and I never did open the Bible. And I kept on, and after it was all over, my turn, I mean, I knew somebody else wanted to talk, so I didn't take too much time. So after the whole thing was over with, dismissal and everything, there was band members, not band, but church music people, you know. They,
choir.
Huh? The, well, there was the musical. They have guitars and violins and all that. So they all came with the guitars with their straps. Oh, Mr. Madrono, Mr. Madrono. I said, can we come over and visit us? That's what we need. That's what we need. He was in somewhere else. I said, Brother Johnny, I went home with him that night. I says, and he's the leader of the band, you know. Johnny is. Of course, Johnny's a Christian. I know he is. But he's got a girlfriend who's in the choir. And she's a sweetheart, too. But it's just a relationship that I told him, come to South Dakota and visit. Well, Becky doesn't want to go, so we're not going. Anyway, that's the handicap there. We all want to pray about that, too. And I want to pray about my classmates. And there's a burden there for a lot of people. And I hope you have the same burden for some of your friends. I know you do. I know you do. You don't have to tell me. I know. If you're a Christian, if you're in the mystery, I know that you have a burden. And that's what this is all about, too. We pray for one another, for the peace and comfort and that the Lord has and can give, and wisdom, because the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in the Word of God, He's the one who holds the treasures of all wisdom, and we call on Him to give us some of it. Anyway, good old Dad, he's gone now, and I know where he's at. His spirit is in the very presence of God. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And I talked to Johnny more about Psalm 15. And he says, will you sing that with me over the telephone? He still misses Dad. And Johnny still cries. I don't cry for Dad, I cry for Johnny because he cried. Oh, man, it's amazing. But we sang it over the phone, and he says, Eddie, I haven't talked to you for about 6 months. This call was ordered of God, he said. I'm sure glad that you called me. I love you, brother. And I love you too, Johnny. I says, hey, I'll be calling you some more. Please do. And I says, you know what, you could call me too anytime. So anyway, that's the way the relationship goes. And I had something else to share. Oh, yeah. The song that the Amazing Grace, who saved a wretch like me, and you turn around and say, a wretch saved a wretch like you. You know what? You could have prayed that to Paul, the apostle. He wasn't the chief of sinners, but he was a wretched man. The old wretched man that I am, he said. And we could pray the same prayer. And I believe that whoever the author of Amazing Grace was, he remembered that particular verse, old wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And the answer is immediate. The Lord Jesus Christ. He has delivered us. For us, he not only has delivered us from sin, we have been translated out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. That's so rich. All right. Now, I wanted to share with Mike, I think it was. Yeah. That about the patch that is required after the Kataboli, after the earth was inundated, and after the casting down, Kataboli, that's what it means. In order to fix that, the Lord required a fullness. And that fullness has a name that I picked up from a tape that Jim sent it me by Brother Baker. And he gives a wonderful, wonderful teaching on the patch and ties it in with pleroma, the fullness. And he talks about the redemption plan needing fullness, patch, in order to mend the rent In my computer, I have a program that says, click here to if you want the patch to fix this oncoming virus. And it was just, when I saw that, I said, and I had just listened to Baker's tape on the patch, you know, and I says, isn't that amazing how the evil one patches copycats even about patches? Isn't that something? We pick up things like that, you know, so we can share them. Okay. I've got written over here, the rent versus the fullness, fullness of time, the patch, the rent, kataboli, first in Genesis 1-2, the casting down of the world, cosmos, cosmos really, is requiring in simple terms a patch. So as part of God's redemptive plan to fulfill, pleroma, his own divine secret purpose and counsel, Ephesians 1-9 declares, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, thelema, thelema, his own desire and will according to his good pleasure, and that word good is agathos again, which he hath purposed in himself, and I have a sort of the another definition of that particular verse. Excuse me. His desire, his own divine secret purpose and counsel. You would find that commentary or explanation in the figures of speech on page 537. And the figure of speech has got a name called an interchange. So if you can make a note of that in your mind or in paper, whatever you want to do. Page 537. I just looked it up just a minute ago. And sure enough, that's what the way it reads. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather in one, the Bible says, but it's really that he might head up all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Okay, let's go to Philippians 2:5, where Christ's mind is in the believer, in this particular administration of God. Philippians 2:5. It's an encouragement by the Holy Spirit that we should let his mind be in you. I said Philippians 2:5, didn't I? Yes. No. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is that a tall order or what? Yeah. Let the mind of Christ be in you. And we can find the kind of mind that he wants us to have by going to Philippians in attaining the prize of the high calling. And that's our goal, every one of us, as a soldier. As a soldier. The word soldier is one that knows he's in a battle, in a warfare. We are really in a warfare. And I count it joy myself that we are in a warfare. And I'm happy with an honor, and I feel honored that the Lord wants me to take that shield and buckler and fight that battle as a soldier. And that shield itself, you don't see any shield here at all. In this battle, in my warfare with the evil one, it's the same warfare you're in. And we are in the same army, so to speak. We're in the same team. We're in the same body. We're members of the church of the one body. And we're soldiers, if so be, that you want to win the prize of the high calling of God. And that shield that you have on is like a door You know the door? You know who else is called a door in the Word of God? What's his name? Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. That shield is Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And that shield of faith, to put it on. Put it on. And sometimes we let it down. And we should not let it down. We should not ever let it down. And if you don't let it down, watch the joy come in. Watch the power. Power, I mean resurrection power. When somebody knocks on your door and you tell them to come in and it's a Jehovah's Witness. And you say, hey, please sit down. We want to talk. I'm glad you showed up. Then I invite them in. We'll sit out on our porch out there and we'll have a beautiful conversation until they get either angry and leave or it's been very nice. We'll go visit the other neighbors. Is the whole neighborhood like you are? A whole bunch of us. My next door neighbor, the one behind, man, they haven't been in my house for about 3 years. No Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, really. Some Baptists came over to my house, knocking on the door, and there was two kids over there. Bless their dear hearts. They're just kids. And says, have you ever been saved, sir? Have you heard about salvation? Have you got something to say about that to me? Come on in. Come on in, you guys. I want to take you up to my crow's nest. I told you about my crow's nest. It used to be my daughter's bedroom before she went out to college. And I made a nice little crow's nest out of it. I've got a study that, it takes up the whole room. And my wife's getting kind of impatient with me because I got it filled up with so many books. And they're piling up nicely in order. And a lot of nice tapes, and I got them in order. It's a very nice little office. I call it a crow's nest. It's a nice crow's nest. So they came up and, did you have something to show us? And I said, well, look around you. Pull up a chair, both of you. And I told them about the resurrection power of God. And after they asked me a question, how do you know that you're going to heaven and you're not going to hell, sir? I said, I'll tell you how I know. Because I know the kind of power that the Lord Jesus Christ has. I know the kind of power he has. What kind of power does he have? I'll tell you after I share something else with you. So I took them through the book of Ephesians, and I gave them the message of Paul's message and the post-Acts revelation. And I stopped without telling them what kind of power. So I finished, how do you feel so far? Well, pretty good, sir, but you haven't told us what kind of power. You said you knew what kind of power the Lord had. I says, okay, well, hold on just a minute. And I took them over some more, and I purposely didn't tell them what kind of power. I think I told you about that over on the telephone call. Maybe not. Anyway, I'm ready to tell you what kind of power. Did you understand? Do you have any problem with what I've been told you so far? No, not a bit. Just tell us what kind of power. They want to know what kind of power it is. Okay. You've heard, I know that you know about the resurrection of God from the dead after 3 days, right? He says, oh, yeah, we know about that. Well, do you know about it? Can you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead after he was crucified? Oh, yes. Yes, he did. He says, well, then thou shalt be saved. Then you're saved now by the same power that I'm talking to you about. And that power is resurrection power. That's simple. Do you understand that? Do you have any problem with that? No, I don't think so, sir. We got to go. We got other people to see, you know. I hope you go away happy because I meant it. As a good thing. Agathos. Good thing. Well, the Word of God does its work. Because it's a Word. The Word of God is alive. And you know Hebrews 4:12. That the Word of God is alive and sharper than every two-edged sword. The Bible says any two-edged sword. But in the text it says every two-edged sword. Sharper than every two-edged sword. It's sharp. And piercing even asunder. Who knows the scripture by heart? I should, and I often attempt it, but now I don't want to do that. I'd rather read it. 4:12. For the word of God
is alive, quick, it says here, and powerful and sharper than every two-edged sword, it says in here, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that the word discerner ties in with let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule, let the peace of God be an umpire in your heart. And that peace, anytime you hear it, you'll know how to say it in Greek. It's a eirene. Eirene. It sounds like Irene, but good night, Irene, or whatever. You know, that's the name of the song. But it's a eirene. Eirene. That's a peace. And when I think of that word, I think of him ruling in my heart. And I also like to tailor off that passage or dissertation with, not only do I let him rule, let the peace of God rule in my heart, but I also say even the peace of the Master, who is also the Prince of Peace. That word peace also is a person, Jesus Christ. Just about every word in the script, well, every word in the scripture, every page in the text speaks of Jesus Christ. Yes, shield and buckler, that's Christ himself. And it's in Genesis 1:15. We just found that out tonight. The shield and buckler in Genesis 1:15. Okay. You know, we were leaving for the conference, Kathy and I, and I got an email from a friend, and it was just a message that said, the title of it in the email, it said, "The Second Coming versus the Appearing." Hello. I just got it. Right, hon? Was it the day before? Anyway, you guys have probably heard of Tom Wirth. You've heard of him. I know you have. Anyway, he sent me this. He likes to send emails, and he's got me on his... So he sent me something, and I thought it was really nice after I read it.
Yeah, I got it, too.
Did you get it too?
Yeah, I just responded and said, "Thank you, Tom."
That's what I did. I said, "Good job, Tom." And I said, "Bye-bye." Because I know where he's at. And but he did a pretty good job on it. Did you read it?
Yes.
He did a pretty good job on it.
I couldn't really find anything to disagree with. But
that's right.
Other than it's talking about the second coming, he's going to have a great deal of time talking about that. And that's not our hope or calling.
Yeah, that's right. And then I did like the last paragraph, and it reads like this. Did anybody else get that email from Tom Wirth?
Yeah.
You got it too? Jim, you too? I like his last paragraph. It says, "And God's salvation has not been with Israel for over 1900 years. God's prophetic clock has stopped. The second coming of Christ is also postponed until the clock prophecy starts again. The hope of meeting Christ in the air is postponed. But the church, the body of Christ, has a higher calling, and revealed through the Apostle Paul, of going to be with Christ in glory." Colossians 3:4.
Amen.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I give him credit for that. And I said, "Good job, Tom." And, okay. I keep losing my place here. I've only got about 18 more pages, guys. I'm just kidding. I'm only joking.
I got it.
Go.
Yeah. When you talk about the prophetic clock being stopped, do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, if the prophetic clock is stopped, then we cannot look to the animal and say that those 2 days have to do with us, or have to do with this time period, can we? Because if it's stopped, it's stopped.
It's going to pick up again.
Well, yeah,
obviously. Yeah.
Stop for 2 days.
Yeah.
That's what the verse says.
Oh,
does
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it doesn't say it literally like that, but that's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. Yeah.
It is stopped. And you know how the Lord stopped it? I can tell you how the Lord stopped it.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you. Just like those kids from the Baptist church, I told them about the resurrection power. I can tell you exactly how he stopped it. Go to Acts chapter 28.
Oh, yeah, right. I know too.
Well, no, this is different. This is different. The presentation and how it happened is a little bit different. He did it by decree. Do you want me to read the decree to you? You know, here's the decree. It's a declaration. It's a declaration, believe it or not. No, not or not. Just believe it. Because a declaration is something that is declared. Be it known, therefore, unto you. How do declarations begin? Be it known. Watch it. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he has said these words, the Jews departed and had a reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. There it is. That's how he did it. Using Paul to make that declaration. Isn't that neat?
Yes,
that's neat.
It
yeah, it's just true. That's what happened. Okay, the words of the Lord. And I'm going to repeat it one more time. And then I'm going to go with one little structure. And then we're going to pray. The scripture is it's repetitive. And I know you won't get tired of it, because they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words. I emphasized words. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Beautiful. And if you look up the words in your concordance or in your Strong's and look up word and words in there, you'll find it appears there many, many times. And you can make yourself a study from here until the Lord's day or the day of Christ and still not get tired, because most of them speak of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, one more about the words. Go with me to Isaiah, it's the Old Testament, 55:11. One of my favorite scriptures. A real favorite of mine, anyway. Sure. 55:11. Everybody there? Everybody there, right? Okay, here it comes. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's a promise. It ties in with a structure. And I took this again from Bollinger, from verse 10, just above it, the previous verse. That would be verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. All right. It's an AABBCCDD structure. If I had a chalkboard here, I could write the structure for you. But I don't, so you can take AA and take the A in verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. No, not from heaven, just A as alone is. For as the rain cometh down
and the snow. Okay, the A from verse 11 is, so shall my word be that goeth forth. B from heaven, B out of my mouth. C, and returneth not hither. C, it shall not return unto me void. D from verse 10, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. D on verse 11, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, it ties in pretty good with all scriptures profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness.